Who is the multitude mentioned today in the book of Revelation? Who are the people that have the white robes that stand before the throne and worship day and night? Who are these people? I think for the most of us, when we hear readings from the book of Revelation, we go, I don't have a clue what just happened. That's really complicated. I'm going to ignore it and move on. Because the book of Revelation is one of the more complicated books of the Bible. But I want to take a moment and dive deeper into it to really get a sense of how important this text is and what the main themes are that come out of it. So this multitude of people from every race, nation, tongue, and people is supposed to be all God's chosen people. The entire multitude of all the people God has called to himself, which is so big it's beyond the ability to count. But another note is that they're also addressed. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made clean, white, and therefore that's what gives them the merit to stand before the throne of God. So these people, although they seem like something far out, they're meant to be us. This is supposed to be us at the very end of the age. When everything has reached its culmination, we become God's holy people, washed in the blood of the Lamb, standing before his throne, worshiping him day and night. Now there's one little piece that's very important for today's reading. That these people just didn't get chosen out of the world like God said, I like these people, I'm going to pick them. Ta-da, they're my people now. No, these people have had trials and distresses, and they persevered through them. And the book of Revelation makes that point clear. They're not just a random people. They're people who have chosen Christ, have grafted themselves onto him, and have stood by him in trials and fought for that. Therefore, they merit it to some extent. It is in this image of this multitude of people that two main themes come out of that I want to talk about today that become the core of the Christian life. The two poles of the Christian life are following Jesus and imitating him and going out and proclaiming the message to the world. Those are the two poles of the Christian life. So the first pole, the following Jesus, imitating him, doing whatever it takes to follow his ways, comes out very strongly in our first reading, but really is much more strongly pronounced through the entirety of the book of Acts more than anything else. I don't know if you've seen this, but as we've been reading through the book of Acts throughout the Easter season, I've noticed something I never noticed before, and that is the apostles imitated Jesus exactly. Just a while ago, we had a reading in which Peter goes up to this little girl and says, Tabitha, I tell you, arise. It's similar to a very same event that Jesus had, where he went to this little girl and said, Talitha kaum, little girl, I tell you, arise. He's imitating Jesus exactly. Or when they meet the paralytic man that's on the Solomon's portico, and they say, look at me, and he looks really excited, he looks at them, and they say, look, we have nothing for you, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. I say to you, arise and walk. Just like he said to the paralytic, who was raised, lowered from the roof, put in front of Jesus, and Jesus said, go, pick up your mat, and walk. And he got up and walked. The apostles are imitating Jesus exactly. They're following his ways and doing exactly as Jesus did, showing us what it means to imitate Jesus. Now, I think for the vast majority of us, we go, no, I don't think so. That's not me. I don't think I can do those things. I can't go up to the sick and go, be healed, or go up to someone and say, you're forgiven. But that's our perspective. If you start to expand out and look at what's happening in the Catholic world right now, you'll realize that this is far more common than you believe. That people will go and they'll pray over one another, and they will be healed just through prayer, through imitating Jesus and following through with God's will. Because God wants people to be healed, and he wants us to participate in that. But in a more prominent way, it's not about healing, it's not about miracles. The most important point of this aspect of the Christian life is to follow Jesus, to learn his ways, to want to imitate him in everything that we do. And that's what those people that stood by him in time of trial, that dealt with those trials, experienced. It's not easy to follow Jesus. It's not easy to follow God. We have to endure those trials and persevere through them that our faith may be purified, perfected. As Jesus said, purified like gold, seven times refined. This is that important element of the spiritual life. That we come to know our God, we come to love him, we come to want to serve him and to follow his ways. Well, the second one is probably the more challenging one, and that is to go out into the world and spread the message. Now, if you think I'm being a little crazy with this, I'm not. That was one of the main commands that Jesus gave us. At the end of all the Gospels, when he comes back, he says, go into the whole world, making disciples, baptizing him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is the Great Commission, the command Jesus gave us. And I think when we think of like missionaries and missionary efforts, we think of Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses knocking at our door. But frankly, they got something right. They got something right in that by going out into the world and being bold and willing to say something, to speak about their faith, they grew in their faith and understood it better. Now, we don't have the same mentality, and that's okay, but we still have to be missionaries. We still have to have a boldness or a courage to go out into the world and be willing to talk about our faith. Not in the confrontational, weird sense of, have you heard of Jesus? Let me talk to you right now. People don't like that, usually. But just to be real, like, where am I going? Oh, I'm going to Mass tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to go pray. Oh, what church do you go to? I go to St. Mary's. Things like that are not confrontational, but they're real. And that's the most important point of being a missionary. We got to be real about our faith and be willing to talk about it in a, you know, normal sense. Something about me. And that's really engaging to people and encouraging, because you're not trying to force them into something. You're inviting them. But it is important for us to be able to tell the world what we believe. Not because the other people need it, but we also need it. When we have the boldness to talk about it, to proclaim it, to go out into the world and do something with it, it strengthens our own faith. It makes us more convicted about what we believe. That's why it's so critically important. We have to be missionaries, going out into the world and being willing to tell people what we believe and what we've experienced. Because the world needs to know that God has forgiven them. The world needs to know there is a God who's out there. The people need to know that there's a God that loves them. This is important and critical for who we are. And so these are the two poles of the Christian life. The willingness to follow Jesus, to conform ourselves to his ways, and to fight through the difficulties in life, that we may persevere in our lives of faith, knowing that Jesus is our good shepherd, guiding us, strengthening us, helping us along the way, and that we are called to go out and proclaim the message to the people, called to go out there and tell people what we believe and invite them into that relationship, that God may change their hearts.